Hello, how are we doing?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Four. So we're going to try and keep this one actually short today. So
Believe I'm going to
lots to talk about. Real Madrid have just
Oh, I
signed
saw that.
another player, Mendy.
We're on then. How much have they spent so far before the summer?
250 million. 250 million. They've probably didn't need to do as big a rebuild as United, and they've actually by June the 12th gone and signed four or five players. They signed Militao, the centre half. They signed Eden Hazard, and they signed a couple of other players that escaped me. But I think that that they've been absolutely doing the business. And United, although we signed Daniel James, not much else seems to be happening. Though I do. Our sources tell us that the Bruno Fernandes deal is quite close. He's a centre mid. He was quite good in the League of Nations for Portugal, though he needs to improve his shooting. But yeah, so
I know you've signed Daniel James, but are you going to sign James Rodriguez or not?
James Rodriguez. I would only take a punt on him if we went for Maddison. He wasn't available. He was available on a very low fee and very low wages, and I don't think the last two would ever happen. I think he's just a player. He's a player without portfolio that I would class in the same bracket as Lingard and Pogba, in the sense that they've got a skill set that makes them a professional footballer, but they don't particularly excel at anything. So, not fast enough to be a winger, not creative enough to be a number 10, can't dribble past people, can't dictate a game, just not particularly good at anything. But you can get players like that who are actually good footballers, i.e. Bernardo Silva, who some people are saying should be in with a shout for the Ballon d'Or, but obviously I think that's going to stretch too far. But players like Thomas Muller as well, I know he's a supreme goal scorer, but you watch him play and you just think he's a good player, but I can't put my finger on what he does.
Is there
But
an argument that maybe Dele Alli falls into that category then, bearing in mind what we discussed last time?
he's a competent footballer in the sense that, but I don't think Dele Alli's.
He gets paid a salary to do it.
Yeah, he's just like, it's a certain, Lingard, Alli, I even put Pogba in that sense. I know Pogba gets obviously lauded to the hilt. But I personally, it's like I said to him, I don't think that he's, particularly got any strength. That's why the reason why that, and that is why nobody knows what his best position is, because he doesn't particularly excel at one thing, but he's just.
How can he do so well at Juve for whatever it was, three
Because
seasons?
I always said about Pogba, he is the 11th man in a team that can win with 10 men. I
Right,
think
okay.
that he had Pirlo and Vidal next to him in that midfield, and those if he got sent off, in a league where they were always going to win before a ball was kicked, as you win the league in the summer, that's as Jose used to say. So yeah, that's why he did well there. And as soon as he comes into a place where he's needed to lead and be the main man, he's found wanting.
Why haven't you gone after Cristiano Ronaldo? Is it because he's going to go to Sporting in 2 years' time?
Oh man, I think that he's probably, wages. We're not going to be looking to, we want to look to the future. Apparently, there's
Oh
rumors
my word,
that.
you sounded like a Tory MP. We want to look to
Oh
the future.
mate,
You're stuck in the past. You're stuck in the
don't.
past as a football
That
club.
was. I know it's off topic, but that thing that Boris came out with today, Jesus,
Did he say?
is
I
just.
didn't even hear it.
So you got pulled up on the comments about, calling Muslim women letterboxes,
Oh, God.
and he just said, "Look, I'm only just saying what people want to hear,"
Oh, my good
and everyone started cheering.
God.
So
Well, listen.
it was said that it was classic Bannon. Basically, I think he's been getting his training from Bannon, which is worrying because he'll win the conservative election. And from what it's shown, apparently, if he wins, then if there's a general election, he'll return a majority for the Conservatives in that. So,
See, I could see Rory Stewart doing that. At least Rory Stewart's engaging.
No. Rory Stewart is, but he's not got a chance of getting elected as leader.
Of course not, because the first round of votes are tomorrow anyway. Anyway, should we maybe go back on Peast?
Yeah, on Peast. So
one thing I did want to say was, if our fans aren't aware, and I'm sure you are, Bidan, the Euro 2020 ticket application is now open on UEFA's official website. So you've got between now and the 12th of July to apply for tickets, varying from wonderful destinations such as Glasgow, Dublin, London, and of course, Baku. Oh. Baku's back on the scene for Euro 2020.
Baku on the scene.
I've 100% not applied for any tickets in Baku. I've 100% applied for tickets in London to the value of €4,000.
Wow. Well, obviously, with us having worked together whilst major tournaments have been on, we've been through the mill, I think, with regards to what you get, what you don't get, what you're going to sell, what you're trying to buy, when you're going out there, what games you're going to take in that don't involve England and stuff like that. I personally, I'd go to the semis, I'd go to the final, but I would not go and follow England anywhere, really. But having said that, grounds, or are you applying for teams? Oh, we don't know what teams are there, are they? So you're applying for grounds, aren't you?
You're applying for destinations. But so I'm definitely going to put down Glasgow, and I'll definitely put down Dublin, just for the sake of the fact that it's a short hop on a flight. Admittedly, the flight price will probably quadruple, to say the least.
Well, you could say that the price will just keep on doubling.
You know, we'll see. But I'd encourage anyone to apply, especially, you know, given the state that English football is in at the moment, it's in a relatively positive but modest position. The argument, of course, is if Gareth Southgate learns from his mistakes, as we discussed a couple of podcasts ago, then he'll put us in a position whereby, you never know, we might win a semi-final at Wembley and then get to the final and lose, which for me would still be success, dare I say it.
Yeah. So Wembley's the London. There's only one ground in London, is it? And that's Wembley. And is that going to be used for the group stage as well?
Yes, it's going to be used on, I can't remember the specific date. I think there's a couple of group stage games, and then there's both semi-finals and the final.
Yeah, in Wembley.
Which arguably we've been spoiled rotten for that. But I can only assume it works to the logic of, you know, teams have to fly into one destination rather than if they have to fly into one destination for a semi-final and then fly out of that night and then fly to another destination for a final, that's a bit pointless.
Yeah, I mean, it's it just seems like a nightmare for everyone. But, you know, I don't know why they're doing it, to be honest with you. I think they're doing it, isn't it, because it's some kind of anniversary or something?
Yeah, I can't quite remember the specifics. It's a celebration of however many years of European football or European competition. I looked a couple of weeks ago for work reasons, and I can't quite remember the specifics, to be honest. Someone will Google it, or someone will probably tweet us.
I actually looked for work reasons as well. I was doing a pitch related to the tournament, and I forgot. I noted the reason, and I forgot. But yeah.
Well, for that reason alone, I hope you don't win that brief, and I hope I win that brief. Anyway, moving on. Can we discuss Bolton Wanderers, please?
Yeah.
So there's been an interview as part of that. If anyone cares about this, BBC Greater Manchester do a radio show called The Wanderer, which is an hour long of talking just about Bolton Wanderers, which
is the theme tune. They call me The Wanderer.
No, they don't. No. It's some generic BBC stuff. That said, they had Super David Lee. Now, for those of us of a certain age, we'll remember David Lee in that 94 season running down the wing away at Anfield and educating the Liverpool fans in what dribbling, old-fashioned winger-type football is. He was on tonight just speaking from the heart, and it filled me with the smallest amount of optimism that... So he's currently our under-23 or under-18 coach, I think it is. He's Bolton. I was going to say he's Bolton born and bred. That's not true. He's Bury born and bred. But he's...
If you cut his bone... similar to cutting a piece of Blackpool rock.
I think that's what our friend Saj said from Wolverhampton.
It was Raj from Wolverhampton.
Sorry, that's awfully accidental. But anyway, he came out with this kind of just wonderfully enthusiastic plea almost that's, look, let's just get the club in controlled hands. And he said if he got offered the job, he'd take it when, you know, within a heartbeat. And I think that's the kind of people you want in your football club. You know, people that truly care about the football club. We've been through the mill. Relatively speaking, United fans are going through the mill because you haven't won a trophy for, what, two seasons or whatever it is. God forbid, eh? yeah, shit houses. But it was just really, really nice that he came out with, you know, just some positive energy around the football club. And it's so, you know, there's barely a pulse running through the place at the moment. And administrators have come to their decision. They're going to let us know by Friday who the winning bid is. This Lawrence Bassini is still involved somewhere along the line. I tweeted today to a bunch of Bolton fans, you know, you compare Football Ventures, which is Bazran, who's got some kind of role within Facebook. He's quite a big wig. And another lad, I can't remember his name, James something. He's part of part of a business that has loaned money to Bolton. Look, he's a Bolton lad, right? But there's just these kind of small sprouts of hope that we can just scratch everything that was before and then hopefully start again. Admittedly, we've still got an 8-point deduction minimum due to come from the EFL for not fielding him against Brentford. And we've only got 9 contracted players. I think that includes kind of youngsters or scholars. I don't know the specifics of that, so you have to forgive me. But a lot of our players that are kind of half decent, as it were, you know, they're going to be going for small fees left, right and centre over the coming summer, I would have thought. So obviously the argument is, of course, we need a new manager because Parky's time is gone. No one likes the way he plays football. We need a brand new squad. We need investment. We need the EFL off of our backs, but they're going to fine us no matter what. And do you know what? If it takes a double relegation, we get relegated again to League Two.
Jeez.
So be it. It don't bother me. If I've got a football team to support, that's what bothers me.
Well, I mean, look, it would be great if those interesting bidders were a bit sort of, well, sounded like they had bottomless pockets. It doesn't sound like they do, but it's like you say that there are some shoots of hope there, and you just want, like, well, hopefully the youth teamers, you can play some decent youth teamers, get them up, and, you know, use the loan system. I mean, look, there's a great opportunity there for, like, you know, if you're a Premier League team and you've got a good under 23 side and you're looking to loan somebody, it's not going to cause too much upheaval to the kids because they get to stay local and things like that, then, you know, Bolton would be a great destination to send them. So we'll
see what happens. We'll see what happens. By the way, just on the one final point on Bolt Wanderers, a wonderful stat came out last night on behalf of our friends at Lion of Vienna Suite, essentially the unofficial official Bolt Wanderers podcast and blogging site. They pointed out that the American US football team against Thailand scored 13 goals in one match. Bolton Wanderers scored 13 home goals in the whole of last season.
Wow. That was a bit of a farce, though, wasn't it? I mean, look, it was the Women's World Cup, innit?
Which is a wonderful, fantastic event. And you were there on Sunday, so you can tell us.
Like I said, just I was talking through, obviously, some of the groups I've been doing it with. So, I did it carbon neutral. It was with a group of LGBT supporters. We did it in a... I actually didn't use any plastic either, any sort of single-use plastic. I carried around one of those, you know, those metal bottle-type things that everyone's carrying around with the fancy... Oh, yeah. I carried one of them around. I didn't use any, you know... I did refilling and all that kind of stuff. And I ate vegan. You know, just making sure that it was a very... You know,
it sounds like some very good content.
Yeah, it was very good content. I didn't film any of it though, unfortunately. But I'm hoping to go out there again at some point. So who knows? But yeah, have you been keeping an eye on the Women's World Cup? Obviously, England beat Scotland 2-1.
Yeah, not really as much as I should do. However, I have pointed out to Amelie, my oldest daughter, that we could watch them at the weekend. So I look forward to that. If it means she can get interested in it and she indulges herself, and you know, she'll then be on the front line of you know, supporting Bolt Wanderers if she wants when she's older, then great.
Fantastic. Any other news? I mean,
no, I mean, I haven't really. Unfortunately, you know, when it comes to, in inverted commas, mainstream football, we really have hit the true end of the season. You know,
no, we haven't, to be honest with you, because I was saying to our mate the other day, will this absolute turd of a season ever end? I mean, City doing the domestic treble was the shit pie, and Liverpool winning the Champions League was the pie, and you just wanted it to it just felt like the season went on forever, because you had that you had that waiting for one of Liverpool and City to slip up, and they both won every game since, I think it was February or something like that. So they never ever slipped up, even though Liverpool in the bloody Premier League, like that Fabinho dive against Newcastle, and then the fact that Divock Origi fouled the guy to make him score an own goal, would just summed it up for me. It's just like, you just could not catch a break. So you just wanted the season to end. Then the Vermin won the Champions League, and then you got the League of Nations, right? And then you got this Women's World Cup, not that it matters, but whatever. But now the next bloody thing is the European Under 21 Championships, which is on the weekend.
See, there truly is such a thing as too much football.
Too much football. But anyway, I looked, you know, and the poster boy that they put up is Callum Hudson-Odoi, and I bet you like Phil Foden is going to go. And obviously, if there's a couple of United lads in there, I'm going to have to watch it. So it goes on and on and on and on. So I'm just trying to figure out. So remember I said to you, De Ligt would have started his season on 25th of July last year, and he's still playing in the League of Nations. It would be hilarious if the Netherlands under 21 decided to call him up. So he's literally got another like 4 weeks left.
He's going to be sorting out his contract with either Barcelona or Paris Saint-Germain, isn't he?
I'd lose a lot of respect for him if he went to Paris Saint-Germain, to be honest with you. I think that it's an absolute dead move.
Yeah, but it doesn't work like that, does it? You know, it doesn't work like that.
It's his agent, isn't it?
Well, it's also, look, you've got to think of Ajax, the football club. If they get a ridiculous fee for their top, top talent, that's going to sort out, what, another 20 decent footballers coming through their academy?
I don't think they're short of a few, Bob, to be honest with you. But I don't know.
I think they are relative. I mean, the manager made the point that Ajax get a tenth of what, is it the bottom league club in the Premier League do for TV rights?
So they got a tenth.
You are?
A tenth. Yeah. A tenth in an Irish accent there.
Very good. A tenth.
There you go. A tenth.
That's apparently what they get. They get something like 11 million quid.
Let's not kid ourselves. It's Mino Raiola. It was part. Look, let's face it. Pogba, hopefully, and probably, is not going to be at United much longer, right? He's being parked at Manchester United via Juventus. So Raiola, he took a big cut of that fee, didn't he? Like we talked about 20 million or whatever, and he's going to take another cut. If he was going to be parked anywhere, De Ligt, for his good of his own career, for him to continue to develop, you want him. He should have come to United, to be honest with you. I'm not just saying that because I support United, but the Premier League.
Why would you want to go there now?
Just, he's a decent centre half, isn't he? But it's better. The Premier League.
What you're saying, it's a better grounding to become a better rounded footballer. Liga One or
League One Uber Eats. League One, get the name right, Karen. Although it's season after next that comes into force, I think. But it's better than League on Uber Eats, you know, to develop. And I think that
and it's obviously better than La Liga. Oh, what about your tweet about La Liga? Please share that.
What was the tweet?
The one that you commented, oh geez, to yesterday evening. So La Liga,
yeah. What?
The official app.
Yeah, that's just it. So for obviously for our many supporters or fans that don't may not know this story, it's absolutely incredible. It's an Orwellian nightmare.
I mean, it truly is, and also it's very. It just shows what big businesses, organizations will perhaps do to find, you know, or break the loopholes of GDPR.
So just for those of people not who don't aren't familiar with the story, the La Liga app, La Liga had this app, an official app, and La Liga had to fess up to the general public that they were using the app to locate bars, clubs, you know, whatever, cafes that were showing illegally streamed or whatever, illegal satellite feeds of La Liga games by turning on the microphones on the phones without the user's permission.
They were James Bond eavesdropping without your consent on your device.
Have you ever seen The Dark King, that Batman film?
I have not.
Yeah, so I don't know whether you've seen it. What happens is that at the end, Morgan Freeman. Pierce Morgan Freeman uses this, he's got this technology that turns every mobile phone in Gotham into like a radar type thing.
Are you saying Huawei have based the whole of their future brinkmanship of international espionage on Batman the film?
Yeah, and there's even an exchange between Batman and Morgan Freeman where Morgan Freeman goes, "This is wrong. Consider this my resignation." And then he goes, "Once I found the Joker, you can disable you can absolutely destroy this machinery. The password is your name." And then he goes off and finds the Joker. And it reminds me of that. It's exactly the same. It's just like you're turning every mobile phone into effectively your own personal crass.
Exactly.
And then you're going to be able to find some poor sod. He's going to be some shisha bar in Madrid illegally hosting El Clasico, and you're going to bust him because you got your mobile phone, you know, you're tweeting and what have you. And it's interesting.
That's one football organization doing that just to find out of a couple of dodgy illegal streams. Imagine who's listening now.
Mate, I know, it just definitely, it makes you know how those people sometimes put like a little bit of tape over their webcams and stuff on their laptops.
Yeah.
I might get one of those.
No, I don't mind people watching. You know, all I do on my laptop is work anyway, so.
Right. Well, mate, it's absolutely disgraceful. And I think that it does, you know, obviously, but look, you know, if you've been listening to Edward Snowden for the past few years, he's basically said, look, mobile phones are just, you know, they can listen whenever they want, they can get whatever information they want. But having said that, this is slightly non-football related, but there's this thing that you can do on Instagram that everyone's doing where you can go in and find out what ads you're being targeted, are being targeted against you.
Oh, really?
And I went and looked in, right, and to relay or to allay all of my fears on how much information Big Brother inverted commas has on me, the kind of things I'm being targeted for could not be further from what I'm actually interested in. And this is highlighted no more markedly than the fact that the football teams it's got me down as supporting are City and someone else really random. So
that's probably because I've heard you on the podcast say sitter.
Yeah, but you know, and it's just got weird. There's just so many weird things that it's got me down as being interested in, and they're all so wide of the mark. So, you know, that made me feel a bit better. But having said that, you know, using that, La Liga needs to have a word with themselves, and they need to be come down on like a ton of bricks. To be honest with you, I mean, like, who's gonna, you know.
Right, it's European law, GDPR. They'll get fined to the high heavens.
Well, good. And I, by the way, just slightly off topic again, every time I now get an unsolicited call from a call center, I just say, "What's the address you've got down for me?" And if it's my old address, I just say, "Right, I've not opted into this. I want to speak to your data."
Oh, I like it.
You know, your data protect, not data protection. What word was I using?
Data officer.
Yes, something like that. Data compliance officer or something like that.
Then you can just say, "Are you GDPR compliant?"
And but then they start to ship.
Not to stop you there. I feel like maybe we've turned into a bit like a Five Live phone in.
Okay, mate. Well, look, we've discussed all the major points, and we will reconvene at a later date. Obviously, provided they don't go out to the Women's World Cup, we'll have another phone in this week. And I might try and get out to the under-21s European Championships, you know, because I want to go with the England. Actually, one thing I do want to do is that maybe we can do a special on Crunter FC chants.
Oh, no, that's unfair. That's unfair. You can't single out chants of England football fans and Crunter. The benchmark or barometer for Crunterism is, and you can describe what Crunter is in the next episode.
Yeah.
But it's very low. Basically, most football fans are guilty of Crunterism.
Well, I think, like, so United and Liverpool definitely aren't, because they
definitely are.
No. So United and Liverpool pride themselves.
Having witty social channels, that is Crunterism.
Yeah, but what? No. I'm talking about the chants, really. I'm talking about, you know.
You broadly define. Look, we'll go into it in the next episode.
Okay.
Keep it safe. After promising that we'd keep this to 5 minutes, here we are on minute 27.
All right. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Again, we've gone slightly over time again, 21 minutes this time. But I will get doing the gossip columns again, the 5 minute one.
Well, next episode we'll do 5 minutes. We can do 2.5 minutes on what is Crunter and examples of Crunterism.
Yeah.
And then we can do 2.5 minutes of football gossip. And then 20 minutes later we'll finish up.
Great. Okay. Everybody, thanks again for your support. Keep it tuned, keep the tweets coming in, keep the comments on this podcast coming in, which is available on all outlets. And we shall speak to you later in the week.
Yes, Bidan. Yes, people. Yes. Have a good one.
You too, dude.
All right. Take care.
See you later, guys. Bye-bye.